Our scripture reading is from Exodus, mostly from chapter 2. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born must be thrown into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds in the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." I want to take a moment to say that while Mother's Day is filled with celebration for many, it is also a day of terrible grief for others. Our best images and memories of mothers bring us joy and comfort. There are other contexts surrounding motherhood, such as bereavement, infertility, or abuse, that fill others with sadness, anger, or disappointment. May we all be sensitive to these different experiences today, rejoicing or grieving alongside others, whatever their particular situation may be. Today's message features two mothers, and I tried to choose a story that in some ways speaks to both our unusual situation that we find ourselves living in today, and also a complex and sad reality of some mothers. Will you pray with me? Lord of grace and love, open our hearts to receive a message from you today. Amen. I've recently been spending a lot of time on the phone. Often I'm checking in or just offering someone a little bit of company if they're lonely. About a week ago, I called my 80-something grandmother in Virginia. When we had chatted around all of the personal updates and our new daily routines, we got to talking about the terrible toll that this virus is taking on people around the world. And we also talked if there was anything from the past that we might learn from it. I shared a story about Brett's grandfather missing over a year of school in the 1918 flu epidemic when I was talking about my own children missing school. My grandmother said that while she could not recall her family telling her any story about school closures, she did tell a story that I had never heard. She said that during the 1918 flu epidemic, her mother had been 11. Her mother had recounted to her how her own mother had died in the flu just 6 weeks after giving birth to a little baby girl. It brought terrible times for the family. The two oldest girls, 11 and 13, became caregivers for the family, cooking and cleaning and washing for the entire household, while everyone else worked in the fields. The most poignant detail in this story that my grandmother told was relating that this infant would have died if not for a woman of color who lived down the road from their house. She took the baby in and nursed it alongside her own child. My family would have faced more tragedy if not for the kindness and extraordinary generosity of a neighbor. They rose to face unprecedented challenges of their time. Many of us today are learning how to adapt to these extraordinary and unusual times. On this Mother's Day, I wanted to speak to other moms who have needed to make difficult choices in order to address awful situations. The opening chapters of Exodus present us with two mothers, Jochebed and Pharaoh's daughter, who both cared for Moses, one of the greatest leaders of the people of Israel. The situation at the beginning of the story is grim. Because the Hebrew slaves had grown in number and multiplied, Pharaoh had ordered that all male babies be killed. At first, it was the midwives who were killing the babies, but they feared God, and so they told Pharaoh that the Hebrew women were so hardy that they could deliver babies without the help of midwives. So then Pharaoh ordered that all male babies now be thrown into the Nile. It is completely unimaginable what a family might have felt during a pregnancy under this horrible law. A time usually filled with anticipation and happy preparation, now filled with fear and dread. Certainly grief filled these Hebrew communities. Violence and death had entered nurseries of family members and neighbors. Chapter 2 introduces us to Moses' family. The wife becomes pregnant and delivers a boy. She probably accomplishes this labor in secret on her own. It was dangerous to have the midwife's help. Exhausted, she looks down at the child she has kept safe inside of her for 9 months. Jochebed recognizes that he is a fine child. We can't be sure exactly what she saw in her son. Perhaps it was health and vigor. Maybe she intuitively knew that he was special, that God had a mission and a purpose for him. Whatever happened in those moments, she was receptive to God's will, and it drove her to protect the life of her baby boy. Those of us who grew up in Sunday school know the story of the floating basket with the baby Moses inside. We often take for granted what a truly daring and creative plan it was to save the baby. For Jochebed, the baby was her beloved child, one she had nursed and cared for now some 3 months. When she determined that she would devise a plan, she did not know how it was going to turn out. Can we even imagine how it kept her awake at night? How terrified she was, how the whole family might have been scared, that Pharaoh's officers might discover the baby before they could carry it out. What if the child cried too loudly, or someone noticed the mother disappearing in a regular schedule to nurse the infant? Then there is the plan itself. How did the family come up with such a novel idea to hide the baby in a basket for an Egyptian woman to discover? And there are just so many things that could have gone wrong. There is no guarantee that the person who finds the basket will be sympathetic to the child inside. The basket could spring a leak. There could be a strong current. Or worse yet, what about crocodiles? I imagine the family tested their plan beforehand. Perhaps they placed stones in the pitch and tar-covered basket to test and see if it was watertight and could handle the weight of the baby boy? Would it float just right under the baby's weight? Maybe Miriam, Moses' sisters, tested the currents in the river and decided where exactly to place the basket. The family may even have observed the habits of Pharaoh's daughter and deciding when and where she bathed. The whole family may have been involved, discussing the plan in hushed tones over meals, troubleshooting, perhaps running different scenarios. The night before was surely filled with mixed feelings. There was probably a mixture of hope and anxiety. Jochebed may have felt anticipatory grief. No matter how well the events turned out or unfolded the next day, she would eventually lose her son. In her heart, she knew that the best outcome for this child would mean her having to say goodbye. In our mind, we can see this mother's preparations when it is time to go. She probably nursed her baby, perhaps for the final time, so that he would have a full tummy and maybe sleep contented in the basket. I imagine she swaddled him in clean cloths and probably kissed him. Jochebed probably ran through the plan one more time with Miriam before they went down to the riverbank to let the basket go. It is at this point in the text that we meet another woman, Pharaoh's daughter. There is not much that we know about her. The details are very few. She sees the basket, and it piques her interest. Upon opening it, she sees the baby, and it says she feels sorry for him. The situation sets up a murky ethical problem. Is our other heroine in the story a woman of power and privilege who takes advantage of the horrible plight her own father has put the Hebrews in? If she takes the child, she benefits from the grief and pain that her father has inflicted on countless people. And we can't call this a rescue either. It is an adoption under the extreme duress of the biological parents who have absolutely no other choice. On the other hand, she does save the child from death. For whatever reason, Pharaoh's daughter takes Moses to be her son. She looks out for his well-being, and through Miriam's suggestion, retains Jochebed as the child's own wet nurse. In this unfolding of events, Moses ends up with two mothers. Jochebed may now nurture and nourish her son openly and without fear. Although her joy is commingled with grief yet to come, her son will live, but will not finally grow up with her. When the boy is weaned, Pharaoh's daughter claims him and, unfortunately, the privilege of naming him. Moses' name, meaning, "I drew him out of the water," will always be a reminder of the tragic nature of his early childhood and his permanent separation from his biological parents. At the same time, we must acknowledge the role that Pharaoh's daughter plays in Moses' life. Her compassion creates the space for Moses to live and thrive in her household. She doesn't take him home to be a servant or an impoverished ward. She calls him her son. Even though we don't know her personal story, where her longing and openness to become a mother comes from, her choice radically changes the course of Moses' life. We don't know from Exodus what happens to these two mothers, what other celebrations or sadnesses they experience. What this brief story demonstrates, though, is how people tackled problems of unprecedented proportions. We see one woman's attentiveness to God's Spirit, knowing it was necessary to take action into her own hands. Even if unconsciously, she recognizes the importance of Moses' life. Her ingenuity and courage are gifts from God that she uses to change the course of history. It isn't a clean victory either. While she is able to enjoy precious time with Moses and watch him grow, she then has to endure the deep sorrow and pain of ultimately giving him up. Pharaoh's daughter shows how openness and compassion can change the shape and context of our lives. Had she not opened her heart to Moses, had she not risked disapproval in having a non-traditional family, Moses would not have benefited from her unique protection. Through adoption, Moses gained both a Hebrew early childhood and an Egyptian education. Moses became uniquely equipped to lead the Israelites out of slavery using his dual cultural identity. In our unbelievable circumstances today, as suffering unfolds all around us, how might we exercise a similar attentiveness to God's will? How might we creatively engage our own gifts and talents to alter our personal and communal stories? As more people are negatively affected from the fallout of the coronavirus, how can we think outside of the box to address these hardships our brothers and sisters face? We each may be called by God to take on new or non-traditional roles in order to be the love and mercy of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. May we adapt and learn how to sacrifice like generations before us have done. May we offer compassion and openness to those who suffer instead of offering judgment or hardness of heart. May we have the commitment of Christ to persevere and to follow through. And may we have the energy of the Holy Spirit to move and pivot in an instant to address creatively new challenges. Father, give us courage, give us discernment. Amen.